So we're thrilled to welcome Katie Fox, the marketing genius behind Ecamm, who's helped countless creators get comfortable on camera and actually enjoy going live. When she's not transforming nervous entrepreneurs into confident video creators, Katie's either crossing the U.S.-Canadian border, hey, she's actually a dual citizen, collecting eggs from her 11 chickens, or enjoying life in her incredibly cool 1700s home. She also co-hosts the VHS Club podcast, where she gets to geek out about 90s movies with her best friend, as well as the podcast The Flow with our pal Doc Rock, proving she knows a thing or two about creating content people actually love to watch. Welcome aboard, Katie Fox.
This has been the most fun intro ever. So wait, before we jump into it, happy birthday to Jen, who is also a friend of mine.
Cool. Just,
I will never be as cool as Jen, but here I am pretending on her birthday.
She will make you feel so amazing just being around her. She tells you that you're like you feel like you could be the president after
talking. You do. Yeah. She just is like the sun. She's so sparkly and shiny and wonderful. So happy birthday to Jen.
Well, we're one day going to have Katie Fox in that intro video. I am I am so far behind in creating an intro video, but I was waiting for you to be on the show, Katie. So now I'll have that video that I can download from Ecamm, and then I can create a new intro video to have you on it. We're super excited to have you on. Thank you for saying yes and making our show better today. We've watched your content for a long time and kind of followed this journey that you've been on. But what really hit me was a talk that you did on Alec Johnson's event that he did, the Digital Stage Summit that he did.
Yeah.
I was really super captivated by it. So I really wanted to, you know, not steal that, you know, but it really, I feel like, speaks to our audience. We have a ton of people who get stuck doing video, and maybe they're audio only podcasters, and there's all this mind junk that goes in behind video, and no one thinks about the live first framework that that you have. But I wanted to start here, if I could, Katie. What is it about live video that you love so much?
Oh my gosh, I think it's the community. And I don't think that I fully appreciated that or realized it when I got it. Well, I know I didn't, because the whole thing was big and terrifying and scary, and I did not want to do any of it. I did not want to do any of it. ended up here anyway. But what made it a really safe space, and what continues to make it just a really incredible space to be in, is that unlike a recorded video or recording an audio podcast, when you are live streaming your show like we're doing right now, you are welcoming in people from all across the world, some who are, you know, friends and family in real life, and some who you get to know over the span of doing this thing. And it just makes it a safe, welcoming, friendly, fun space. Like right now, I see awesome fun things to hang out with us. That's Matt. He's on like a ton of my streams. Like when I pop up, he's there, right? And that gives me confidence. It reminds me of the value of what I'm creating, that people are getting benefit from it. And it's just a really nice connection point. So I think everything that made live video and video production in general so scary was also solved by people just showing up and reminding me that no one is sitting there going like, Katie is using the word too many times, or she's not saying the thing in the perfect way she has it written in her head. They're here for the value. They're here for the humanity of it. They're here to spend time. And that made it safer and friendlier and a lot more fun, and continues to. I can't imagine doing either of the shows that I do on a regular basis, like in a recorded setting, because I feel like it would kind of trip up my mind, like not having people there contributing to the conversation. It would feel much more rigid, which I think would take away a lot of the benefit of it and a lot of the fun behind it.
Speaking of fun, Anna's here in the house. She's saying hello to us all. Hello. And of course, this is the other great thing about live video, is everybody gets to talk to each other in the chats, right? And so when you talked about community, we do want to get into community eventually on this as well, because it's a huge part of Ecamm, and it's amazing. So I'm glad I asked you that question first, because you've just basically like set the table for us. So it's totally appreciated. So you started and you started going, and we've heard your story, and you're welcome to get into it. But I wanted to know, like, you know, what was that video or that moment, that live video, where it all sort of clicked for you? Like, now you're going, okay, this is my thing. There's community, there's this space or whatever. Was there that one moment or that time where you said, oh my gosh, this is what this thing is about? I don't have to worry about being scared. I don't have to worry about these things. Was there a video or a podcast or a moment that you were recording yourself where it all clicked?
I can't think of like a specific like moment or a particular stream. I just remember, like, I remember vividly, like, avoiding it at all costs, right? So, you know, those of you who know my story, I joined the Ecamm team. The first project right off the bat was, we need to start live streaming, because we make a live streaming tool, right? And we had access to all these incredible creators who wanted to be on camera, who wanted to, you know, give back and help and contribute. And so I was immediately put into this space where not only did I need to learn how to live stream, and did I need to kind of get over myself and just do it, but I was also like on live streams with the top names in live streaming and video production. Yep. So I do remember being on a stream with Luria Petrucci from Live Streaming Pros, who's like incredible. Mm. Now is a good friend of mine, but like just being on the stream with her and being like, I am totally in over my head. Like, here is this person who has been doing this for years, like not only in the live streaming space, but on television. She's done, you know, copious amounts of interviews. She understands the tech in and out. Like, she looks fantastic, sounds fantastic. And I just felt like a lot of it in over my head. And then again, like, people in the comments started asking questions or talking with each other and like sharing their stories or agreeing with what we were saying and finding value in what she was saying. And then I remember her saying on that stream, in the answer to a question that had come up, that you need to sort of get over yourself. Like, it doesn't actually matter. People are not there for you. People weren't there for me. Like, people weren't caring what, like, not that they didn't think that I was a nice person or what have you, but they weren't there to listen to my perspective. I was facilitating a conversation with an expert. They were there to hear what she had to say. They were there to hear about her story. They were there to hear about her journey. They were there to learn with her, to feel connected with her. And I was just facilitating that. And so that was one of many of those moments. But again, it came down to hearing someone with that level of expertise say that, and also actually seeing that in the chat, seeing people being like, oh my gosh, like, you know, that was so relevant to me, or thank you so much for doing this, or it's so great to be here today. Like, it just really level set everything for me. It's like, oh, it's okay. Like, it's okay with what happens. People don't care as much as it feels like they do. And I think a lot of it came from, I come from a writing background. So for me, it's research, 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 write it all out, read it out loud, have someone else read it, take a look at it again, and then like eventually release it. And it needs to be perfect. Whereas live video doesn't need to be perfect. And no matter how much you research or plan or whatever, you're a little bit of stuff is out of your control. Like, anything could happen. You could trip over your words. You might not get out exactly the way that you wrote it down. And that, there's a magic in that. And there's kind of a comfort in that took me a while to get comfy with, because it's so counter to how I was as a person, how I am as a person. I'm definitely a planner.
Wow. And speaking of magic, Awesome Wood Thing says, I see mushroom product on Amazon. I'm adding it to my cart right now. Are you hearing that, Amazon? Thank you. That's amazing. Matt, hey, Matt.
I will say, if you are a perfectionist like me, it did take a while to get these up, because while they are actually as they advertise, like you can stick them on and you can peel them off and put them back again, lining up all of the mushrooms. Yes. Like, I can even see in the video, like, there's like lines over here where it's like not perfect. So yeah.
That's that Obsbot camera is creating so much detail back there that you could see those lines. You see how I did this? You
it's
see
true.
How
I'm did this live this camera. Selling? Pull up Amazon. Let's buy another one. It's too detail oriented.
And you know, Katie, even I had the same problem. So my wall is also
peel and stick wallpaper and it's bricks. And so it's that same thing of like, wait, that's not the right brick. And so thank goodness people can't see the detail, because it would get me as well.
I knew it was going to be a problem, because my engineer husband, who normally is like a complete control freak about, and like he won't let me hang anything in the house. He's like, does not allow me to do any of that. And with this project, he was like, this is all you. Good luck. And like, I was like, there's no way that you're going to let that just go up without it overthinking it to death and taking it down and putting it back up. He wanted nothing to do with it. He just backed out of the room, closed the door.
So, you said something there, and I wanted to double back and underline it a little bit. I think a lot of creators, when they start doing video, they think a recorded video is easier than a live video.
I did. Yeah.
So why is it? And then how do we convince someone who's sitting there going, oh, you know, I'll never have a live show like this, or, you know, and of course some of the people on Ecamm, you know, and Matt and others and all these shows, Luria, like you talked about, all these people that use Ecamm, they beat broadcast show level type videos.
Yeah.
So people see that because that's what's showing up at the top of their feeds, right? That's what's the algorithm is showing them the best of the best, right? They're not showing the millions and millions of other people who are maybe just starting.
Yep.
How would you address someone who has not started on video and thinks like recorded video is what they want to do and live video seems so much harder?
We'll get right back to the show, but first, I wanted to tell you about the School of Podcasting, the number one place to learn about podcasting, brought to you by the amazing podcast Hall of Famer, Dave Jackson. I'm a member, and it's a fantastic place for podcast courses, a super helpful podcast community, and unlimited podcast coaching. The link to check it out is here in the show notes, or you can head on over to sop.dealcasters.live and tell Dave that Dealcaster sent you. Now back to the show.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I will say with a sort of caveat that if you really want to do recorded video, like video is better than no video. So if that's the starting place that you're at and it's working for you, or you you're actually getting video created, great. I am not going to sell you on changing a workflow that's working for you. Yeah. But I am willing to bet that there's at least some of you out there that are like me, where you know you can record a video, you know you can rock a script and you can plan to your heart's content, and then the camera turns on and you stare at it and you start going through your script, and then you screw up the line and then you hit pause or you stop and then you kind of ugh it out and then you try again, and it takes you hours to record a 5-minute clip, a 10-minute clip, a 20-minute whatever. And like, I left those experiences just feeling like awful about myself. It was like, I thought I was good at this. I can get up on a stage and give a presentation. I did years of theater. There was something about the ability of being able to fix it later or pause it and stop it and redo it that gave me permission to get in my head and be a total perfectionist about it, where I was like, oh, that didn't sound good. I'm going to play that back. Oh, that didn't sound good. I was never getting anything done. Or if I did, I was then taking all these video files and sitting there going like, oh no, now I have to edit, which I have no skill at, and like, or send it to someone else, which is going to be really costly. I don't like, I just want this done and out there into the world. And it wasn't supposed to be this hard, is what I kept feeling and thinking to myself. So the benefit of live streaming or doing like recording your video in a live to tape or live streaming mindset or method is that it doesn't give you permission to stop, to hit the pause, to end, to rewatch it and be like, nope, that looks terrible. I'll get around to this tomorrow. I'll do this later. There's just an acceptance that nope, there are people watching. I'm just going to get this done. And I'm willing to bet that once you get going and you have your first thing, your first moment of stumbling over a word or it not being exactly how it is in your head, and you push through it, you get into the groove, and then you're done the video, and then you can go back. And if you want to say, okay, I've now watched this 20-minute video and actually like I do really want to redo it, great. But I'm willing to bet you watch that video and you're like, oh, this is actually fine. That, like, there's nothing like so wrong with this that I need to pick it apart in the way that you probably would have if you were caught in that recording process where you're just in your own head. So I do think live can come across as being scarier, but I do think it's an incredible practice space. And the more that you're able to do it and the more that people show up and force you to be consistent with it, like when people show up, you have to show up. And so you do get kind of those reps in with it. And it does make you more confident. It makes you more capable. It's easier for me now even to record, but not perfect. I'm still nowhere near as good as I am live, but it is easier for me to record videos now. Yeah. I feel like I'm less obnoxious with myself about it. I'm like, no, that's fine. I can hit the pause button for a second, catch my breath, and then say the next line and be pretty good with the output.
It almost feels like the fear of editing is greater than the fear of filler words, right?
For me, yeah. Like because it's a whole job. Like, I feel like sometimes we forget this. It is someone's full-time, actual full job. And they've learned this skill, and many people have gone to school for it. Like, this is, I feel like sometimes we think or assume, same with graphic design, right? We're like, well, anyone can do this. Not anyone can do this. This is a skill that needs to be learned, and it is hard. There are tools that make it easier, but that's not worth my time to be, you know, I have other things that I'm better at that I should be spending my time at, and that is not one of them. So either I need to spend the money and hire an editor to do it, which I do for the flow that we do for Ecamm, or not care so much about it and focus instead on getting the content as good as possible to help people and get it out there versus kind of sitting on it and panicking about it and hoarding it, not actually getting it in front of the people that need to know that information.
Yeah. So Katie, you mentioned the flow. I know you have the VHS podcast show as well. What have you kind of learned because I think that one probably started, I think, after the flow. What's your viewpoint as far as, do you feel like now maybe you're like less scripted? Because like you said, when you're doing a recorded video, a lot of times like, oh, I got to have a teleprompter and I've got to say these exact words. Where now it's probably like, I have no idea what I'm about to say next. And how would you encourage people to like get over the feeling like they've got to hit every word and that it's, you know, too important or something, or it's going to mess them up?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that go into it. I think having like a passion project or like a just for fun project was really super helpful for me. So the VHS Club podcast, I'm not in it to make money. I'm not in it for anything other than I think it's fun. I love spending time with my friends and guests that come on. I love getting to force myself to watch movies every single week. And it also happens to teach me how to be better on camera, build up those, you know, skill sets. And now I can answer questions like, how do you grow a channel from nothing? I now know how to do that. I'm not faking any of those conversations. I know what that experience is like, how hard it is. And I feel like I can have authentic conversations with people about it as a result. I think as far as scripting goes, I do still, and Ecamm actually makes this really easy for me. I do plan out, and I guess I don't script, but I do plan out and think through if I'm doing, a virtual presentation or a summit or like something where it's a very limited set amount of time and I need to hit, particular talking points, I will use Ecamm scenes to plan that out. So I approach it like each scene is like a slide in a PowerPoint presentation or a keynote presentation where it's like, you know, these are my first talking points, these are my second talking points. I will build it out that way. I don't do that anymore for podcasts, live shows, interviews like this, because I know that I know the content. So there's, if I write it all out in advance or I script all that out, I'm doing myself a disservice. I know this. This is my everyday life. If I don't know how to answer these questions, there's probably an issue. And, you know, in the way that the shows are structured, they're more casual anyway. So for me, it's, there's no value in overthinking those things. But I will say I do definitely still plan and storyboard to some extent when I'm doing presentations or workshops or things where there are certain points I know I need to hit, I will have those visual cues. I just don't fully script it out anymore because that would ruin things for me. I think it would make me a little bit crazy.
So we're going to get back here to the chat. We've got tons of people here. Cyrus Webb, I was like this for sure. Thought I couldn't do live in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Definitely got more comfortable with time. Done is better than perfect.
Done is better than perfect. So yeah. True, Cyrus. So true.
And speaking of done is better than perfect, our very own recovering perfectionist himself, Alec, were your ears burning, sir? We talked about you earlier. It looks like everyone is going over and filling their carts on Amazon with the mushroom background. they're all loving it over there. This is funny. And then is it Kira that says yes. Hi and happy Tuesday? So excited for this live, and I'm glad that we touched on the chat because community is one of the reasons you. Just went with the live first thing. You started to realize, hey, you know, if I'm having tech problems, all of a sudden these people in the chat are going, hey, have you tried this with the Rodecaster? Have you hit this button? You know, jiggle the cord or whatever they're saying. They're hanging out and trying to help you live. Yep. And that's part of, you know, going live in general in that community. But one of the things that I think, you know, is distinctive about Ecamm Live is the community. That Ecamm has, it doesn't feel like there's a competitive spirit, right? So you were started to go on these live streams with these major people who were like, oh my gosh, this is like thousands of dollars of equipment, and they're like, they've written 10 books, and you know they're incredible content creators. Yet I'm here with this person, you know, they're real or whatever, and that can feel like incredibly intimidating. But these are people that are members of this community that are helping mm-hmm. others. I wanted to just kind of, you know, hand the mic over to you and kind of talk about, you know, why that community is important to you and maybe some examples and some stories around how that community has helped each other.
We'll get right back to the show, but first I wanted to tell you about Social Media News Live. Jeff C. and his amazing guests will keep you up to date on what's happening in this entire changing world of social media. They talk with industry experts and innovators and creators about the latest social media news, tips, and tactics, and they broadcast live so you can ask the questions that matter most to you and your business. Jim and I love this show, and we know that you will too. Head over to socialmedianewslive.com. Hey, tell them Dealcaster sent you. Now back to the show.
Oh my gosh. What can I say about the Ecamm fam? I mean, honestly, like, I wouldn't be here on this show or on any of the shows or podcasts or videos that anyone has seen me on in the last however many years back if it wasn't for the Ecamm fam. Because again, from the very beginning, they showed up, and they showed up with like such positivity and encouragement and connection. I mean, not only were they on the live streams, but they were in the community saying that they like loved the videos that I was in. They were just cheerleaders throughout, and for no reason. Like, mm-hmm. I was brand new to Ecamm. Yeah. They did not know me, but they just, you know, they gave me incredible ideas. I was on, you know, calls with them. They gave of their time to be interviewed. They shared resources with each other. There is no community out there like them. I have been in so many groups and at so many different events, and there is just really no group like them. And it really is amazing. And I think in some ways the pandemic made that, helped to kind of solidify that space. It was really hard, and we needed to be together. And, you know, and video was such an important aspect of connecting and of keeping our businesses alive and of, you know, spending time with family and friends. And I just think like in that moment, this group of people like rose up, and they, you know, they offered to like help each other out. The amount of, you know, GoFundMes that we've had, like, it's just such an awesome, incredible space. And even now, years later, I hear stories every single day of people who were like, this software changed my life. You know, what Ken and Glenn have built, you know, has made such an impact for me. You know, I can't run my business without Ecamm. You know, you guys make such a huge impact. And it, like it, I get like chills and it brings me almost to tears, the just what these two gentlemen have created and what they have built. It's just humbling for me to be a part of it at all. And I just think it's really neat, because I often I get to be kind of the face out on these interviews and people are like, what did you do, Katie? I just showed up. I showed up and the group was just so welcoming and their spirit has really kind of carried through, and we've certainly grown and we've done a lot of things together as a community, and it's just been awesome to see. And you know, I'm sure tons going forward, you know, cool ideas that will come and neat events and everything, but it's really cool the difference that having a community makes and the difference that a company that is community minded can do. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just so grateful to Ken and Glenn for never saying no about community. Like, there's never a moment where they're like, well, you know, that's a crazy idea, or like, we should be focused instead over here on selling more subscriptions. Like, they are always about helping people, hearing stories, sharing stories, making a difference, making an impact. And that carries through all the way through into the eCamp fam. And I think it's hugely important and a giant reason why we're as successful as we are.
Wow. Yeah. I love that you said they don't care about subscriptions. They're putting this first. And we've all kind of been around companies, or maybe even historically have worked for companies, where that is the leading driver and you can absolutely tell. And it was truly, you know, we use this word authenticity or authentic. Like, when you were talking about that, Katie, it's like, it's absolutely 100% believable, right? You know, this is the other great thing about live video. There you were, just like, we didn't plan any of this, folks. I didn't give Katie a list of questions. Yeah. I didn't give Katie a list of questions, but she just gave the most amazing heartfelt testimonial for the people who have created this thing and why this community is so woven. And if there was, you know, you needed any evidence, the chat is like all I had to do was say eCam fam and community. There's more lurkers. So thank you. Thank you for all of this. I did want to highlight, one of these, by the way, if folks, if you're wondering how I'm doing this, and how I'm able to pull all these comments, even from Amazon, it's because I use eCam. There's a theme in this show, but Kira says, I think my biggest boundary to live is how to ensure I'm paying attention to my guests.
Yeah.
And the chat and mm-hmm. the tech. But you're right, we just have to try to learn along the way. Katie, so, you know, when you were just starting to do this live video, and eCam, ladies and gentlemen, like, when you open eCam for the first time, it can feel a little daunting. It's kind of like opening up the, you know, the guts of a Tesla or something like that. Sorry for all you Tesla haters. But, you know, it's like, okay, and so someone who's fairly adept at opening software, you just got to start simple, right? You got to start and just open up this window, close these other things. You don't have to do all the things just yet. You got to start simple. Katie, how did you, in your journey, how did you work on, you know, like Kira is saying here, paying attention to the guests and the mm-hmm. chat and the tech, all the stuff that I'm doing right now, but it's taken me, you know, a long time to be able to do this, and lots of fumbles along the way. But talk to me about how you worked through that, Katie.
Yeah, I mean, you just said it. That's the answer. Like, unfortunately, there's no way to get there other than kind of fumbling your way through it, pushing the buttons and seeing what happens. I will say, when I realized that I could just be me, that made it way easier on me. I was surrounded by, I'm still surrounded by all of these incredible creators who are making these, you know, quote unquote, like TV quality, broadcast quality productions. And I definitely had a moment a few years back where I was like, oh, you know, I shouldn't do any live streams from home. I should only do them from the studio, where it like looks way cooler and way, you know, way bigger. Like, I'm representing eCam. I need to really show up, right? Like, mm-hmm. And I realized that in the end, people were actually responding a lot more to me and to the things that I was doing. And it was more relatable when I was just myself and I was just being really honest and really vulnerable mm-hmm. in public about all of it. So when I started thinking about my home studio space and putting up this wallpaper that took me forever, I actually got to a point where I was like, you know what? Like, it's just me. Doc Rock's not here in the studio with me all the time. So I'm not going to have a Rodecaster because even though I generally know how to use it, it's going to stress me out. It's going to be this cool, glowy thing on my desk that I don't entirely know how to use and for what value. So I'm going to get rid of that. I actually don't need a Sony ZV-E10 camera. I have it. But like, it's big, it's taking up a bunch of space. It, you know, there's all these different like points of complexity with it, right? Like all of the gear and the equipment, the space you're in, the like all of it plays into the end production. So I just simplified way down. I've intentionally only ever used just my laptop. It's an older laptop. It's not even a newer laptop. I don't have another screen because I'm constantly on the go and I want to force myself to be able to do it as simply as possible and to generally be able to troubleshoot my way through it when something happens, because something is always going to happen. So I put myself in these boxes where I feel comfy and safe so that I know how to respond if something happens. And I'm okay with looking down. Like, I'm okay with, like, here's my camera, but I want to check the comments. Sometimes I have, like, an iPad over here that I can reference, you know, that has other stuff on. And I think that's fine. Like, I don't think, again, that this is not just because we can make it a, like, quote unquote, perfect television broadcast doesn't mean that that's what your audience wants or needs.
Boom.
You need to think through what your audience wants and needs and how you can be your best self. So it's okay, Kara. You can look at, you know, you can talk to your guest and look down. You can reference notes. You can, you know, laugh at jokes. You can, you know, figure out like where the comment is, show the same comment twice. It's fine. Like, you'll get better at it and more comfortable, and you'll figure out what really works well for your audience, what you really like. Like, I'm constantly thinking, oh, I could add like this segment to my show, or I could, like, I'm, you know, constantly getting different ideas or figuring out ways to change it up. It's an evolving process. The technology is always changing. The options available to all of us are always changing. So I think it's fine to kind of go with the flow for a pun.
I love the fact that there's not a one size fits all thing here.
There's not
one microphone that works for everyone. There's not one camera that works. And by the way, I think there's a thing such as too much eye contact. Like, I received constructive criticism, not from Jim on this one, by the way.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like.
We're going to get right back to the show, but first I wanted to introduce you to the amazing Cloudlifter CL1 from Cloud Microphones. This amazing little blue box boosts your dynamic podcast mic signal for pristine audio quality in just seconds. Jim and I love ours, and you can snag one of these CL1s or new Cloudlifter Xs for yourself from the links in the show notes below. Elevate your audio content with the Cloudlifter. Now back to the show.
I felt like I was being stared into my soul the entire time you were talking, right? And I was like, okay, now I have to consciously look away, you know? And so it's like, we're just learning and evolving. It's like, these are things that, you know, let's not get too judgy on someone's gear, like, you know, because that may be the perfect gear for them that gets them through and delivers their message to their audience, which, by the way, might not be you, right? And I think we have to be a little bit more, you know, forgiving in that respect and just kind of say, hey, you know, my voice is not for everyone. People might be joining the show for the first time and be like, who's this knucklehead with the purple thing on his, you know, purple doc pop on his, you know, or whatever. I don't know, you know, whatever. Okay. I'm not for you, you know, Bill or whoever your name is. By the way, if anybody watching is named Bill, I'm sorry. That was just the first name that came to my head.
I actually used that name earlier today in an example. So you and I,
Bill is a great name.
We're on the same wavelength. And Bill today.
The shirt, by the way, we mentioned this in the intro. How awesome. It looks like we've planned this 100%. Like, we're not lying. We did not say, Katie, wear that grape colored shirt because this, I'm having the grape galaxy background for. That did not happen. So
we're just that good. We're that good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so Katie, you know, I think one of the things that you talked about is, right, we got to progress. Chris and I talk about it, like, just try to get better 1% every time.
100%, yep.
Each episode, you're going to get a little better. And it's not always going to be in the same area, right? Sometimes it's going to be in different areas. But one of the things I find interesting that you said, and I sometimes feel like this is potentially the future of lighting in some aspects. I think this is where ECAM has some great opportunities, is the whole idea of, right, less is more. You know, this equipment coming out, the OBSBots, if I said it right, or even like the fact the Shure MV7 Plus, you can plug it straight in your computer. You don't need to go get a Rodecaster. You can sound amazing. You know, now with everything from what Starlink has, this Roam that you can pay, I think it's $50 a month for, you know, 300 megabytes. So you could almost stream anywhere.
Yeah.
So now it starts to become the idea of like, well, what can I do? And the fact that, you know, Chris makes us look incredible. But the truth of the matter is, if you go watch your local or national television sometimes, people live streaming look better than these people that are professional. That's what has happened. And it's so what do you see maybe as, what would you like to see happen, like say in the next couple of years, that you think would help with live streaming?
Oh my gosh. I think when it comes to live streaming, it's just the level of accessibility, like you were saying. Like I remember when I first got to know Doc Rock, he was saying that, you know, he comes from like a broadcast background, and this stuff that we are all, you know, so comfortable now using used to be millions of dollars, and it was gatekeeped behind, like, you had to like go to school for like a particular skill set, and then you had to get hired by a company, and then they had all of the equipment like at the studio that you had to go into, and you know, maybe you were like one cog within a larger production. And now I can come up to the upstairs bedroom in my home, and I can, you know, have a huge following, and I can create valuable content and laugh and have fun with friends and connect with people. And everything in my setup is like preposterously affordable compared to what it used to be back in the day, or even compared to what it was a year ago. So I think the level of accessibility and the easiness of it just continues to get more accessible, cheaper, easier for everyone to use, and more widely used. So now it's, you know, everyone has a podcast, and everyone is, you know, thinking about starting a YouTube channel, which I think is great. There's all these different niches. There's all these spaces that everyone can be in where you can still have an incredible audience and make an impact and, you know, and have a really incredible, fun place to play, even if everyone's in this space. So I think it's just going to continue to become one part of a larger strategy. I think, you know, how people think about video in general is really shifting, right? And so I think we're not going to have, you know, we're in the space right now where it's like, well, this is a live show, and this is a podcast, and this is a video, and this is like, you know, and I think in, you know, even in a year or so, I think it's going to become just content and just, you know, shows and things that we're doing. And there's just going to be different ways that we can connect with people that is just going to become kind of all different pieces in a larger puzzle that we have. So it's a really cool space, and there's so much room and time for people to be here. So if you've been sitting on the fence, it's a great time. No one is going to, like, you will learn quickly. There are so many resources available. It's way cheaper than it ever was. It's way easier than it ever was. So it's just a really great time to jump in.
And it's fun, you know.
I think
it's sometimes people get too serious. Like, let's not get too serious. I think that was the moment for me, is like when Jim and I started doing this show, and yes, we were screwing up. And, you know, and yes, things went wrong, but we make fun of each other all the time, you know, and we just have fun and do, you know, kind of stupid. Jim actually, Katie, took his shirt off in one of our live streams. I'm not even kidding.
Jim.
It was to support another Amazon creator. That's the
reason.
There
you go. Yeah, he literally gave him the shirt off his back. I feel it. Right. Yeah.
It wasn't like a story like that. It was something else. But I digress. But I think, you know, when you do the VHS Club podcast, which is awesome. You had Jeff C on your most recent show, and I see you've got Jeff Dwoskin that's coming up as well. That'll be an absolute fun show. I can't wait to watch and listen to that. We've had both of those guys on our show, and they're an absolute blast. So it sort of speaks to the fun, right? It's like there are so many great thought leaders out there that I just, you know, but it's like maybe they're boring, right? You know, it's just kind of like, I let's have some fun here. Like, I'm sorry, there's no boring allowed on this show, but that's something that, you know, I'm sorry, that's just me. But I wanted to know, speaking of fun, the VHS Club podcast, what's your favorite movie from the 90s?
Oh my gosh. This has been the defining question and moment of this show. I cannot answer this question. And the more that I do this show, the more I realize like the level of impact that movies have had on my life and the connection point that they are with people. Like if you want to do a wild thought exercise, ask people in your world what their favorite movie is. It never ceases to amaze me what people will say. Or, you know, we have now have guests on often. And just, you know, I'm like, okay, what, like, you were welcome to come on. What movie do you want to talk about? And like the level of like excitement to like, what movie do I, like, what have you done? How can I, they, it, yep. there's, it's just, I,
how do you pick
I probably
just one?
Have a, yeah, I know. How do you pick just one? And favorite the moment child, that we review it or rewatch a movie, it triggers all these other movies that like you, you know, every movie that you see, you're like, oh, now I've got to watch this one again, or now I've got to. So yeah, I don't know. I really struggle with that. I think I probably have about 10 to 15 of them fully memorized, which I feel like, you know, those are ones that I've.
The entire script, you can, you've a movie full,
just,
fully.
Just about, yeah. So
really?
I,
wow.
There's a bunch of them that are just like iconic. I mean, so I grew up with like family movie night, going to Blockbuster. I worked at Blockbuster for years.
No way.
I have like a huge, huge movie collection myself. So I, for me, it's just this like moment back in time where things were like simpler, and it just takes like rewatching these movies just takes me back to those moments. And I just love having people on and hearing like their experiences with movies, particularly when I haven't seen it. Like last week we had Jeff on, as you said, Jeff C, and he was like, let's do Inner Space. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, have you seen it? And I was like, I don't think so. I recognized the cover. So I thought I had maybe had seen it. And then I started watching it and I loved it. And watching it like through the lens of like, this is the movie that Jeff really wanted to for us to spend time talking about was also really fun. Like, and hearing his story of why he wanted to watch that. I don't know. There's something, again, like for lack of a better word, there's just something magical about movies because they connect us and they're visceral, like a smell or like a taste. Yeah. They take you right back to that moment when you first saw it. If it's one that, obviously one that connects with you, but they're really hard to review, let me tell you. Whenever we do a rating system, and it's always like, well, 5, another 5, 4.5, 5 again.
But, it's almost like if there's a movie that's on that show, it can't not be a 5. Yeah, so you're not going to give it like a, you know, negative Rotten Tomatoes score or whatever on there.
Well, we did one. We brought on some friends who also have a movie podcast, and they were like, we're going to review this. They suggested a movie, and I constantly... It's one of those titles that's like forgettable too. Like you can't, Nothing But Trouble, the movie Nothing But Trouble, which is a terrible movie. I cannot recommend it.
Okay.
But it was really fun to watch because it was so bad. It was like a fever dream of like a weird cult. You're like, what is happening? Yeah. And so that one we rated poorly, but it was still a really fun watch. So part of it was like, well, this was really fun to actually experience, even though I would not ever recommend it as a great movie to watch or rewatch.
Wow. Jim, do you have a favorite?
We're going to get right back to the show, but first I wanted to tell you about the game changer for your audio setup. Of course, it's the one and only Shure SM7B microphone. This iconic beauty is a go-to for top-notch podcasts. You've seen it on stream. It's the perfect microphone for any environment. You don't need a fancy studio. It's got built-in protection that handles background noise like a pro. Jim and I love ours, and you can level up your audio game today. Just check out the show notes for the links. Now back to the show.
Well, what was funny, I saw someone in the comments talked about Breakfast Club, and you know, to make me feel old. Well, one, my daughter with my grandson, that's a movie we like to watch together. But the time that movie occurs in history was my senior year of high school, 1984.
Yeah,
of course, you know, I can relate to everything that's going on in that high school,
right.
And But you know, it's kind of like I get into a lot of the call violent movies, whether it's Braveheart, but then I start thinking about things like you know, Platoon, and you know, but then there's like what, Field of Dreams.
I'll be right back.
Now, is the rule? The rule is, I thought it was 90s, but Interspace is like late 80s.
No, so we're like old school radio, old school quote unquote radio. We do 80s, 90s, and today. But we are making an exception this week. We are doing, so we've done a couple of 70s movies. See, this is the fun of no rules. This is my show for fun. So there's no rules. So we are doing Grease this week because why not? We just have to. So there are a couple of exceptions. And we did, I think the original Halloween was like 79 or 78.
And I think is the original Aliens also 70s or was that?
Yeah, we have to do that. 70s, I think. It might be, it's right on that line. Yeah. So we're like 70s to today, whatever today means. No new movies is our...
Yeah, there's a couple things that cause people to go nuts in the chat. One of them is to talk about Ecamm Fam, and the second one is to talk about favorite movies. So, note to self for next time.
Yeah.
Matt's saying that these are great movies too. 16 Candles, Bueller's Day Off. There's so many... Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I could probably quote pretty well and not memorized. I don't know. Like, what are some of the movies that you've memorized, Katie?
So Empire Records is one of my all-time favorites. That was our first
great.
So we did. I have that one fully memorized. That Thing You Do, I have fully memorized.
Okay.
Clue is another favorite.
Wow. Okay.
Princess Bride.
Oh.
I'm trying to think. There's a few more.
There's a lot of people that memorize Princess Bride.
I'm constantly telling, this makes me like a terrible parent, but there's a line in Princess Bride where he says something to the extent of like, sleep well, Wesley. I'll most likely kill you in the morning. And for the longest time, I would say that to my kids at bedtime, and they probably have no idea where that was from. I'd be like,
they couldn't sleep.
I'll most likely kill you in the morning. And they'd like laugh. And then we finally watched the movie and they were like, is that where this is from? I was like, yes, that's where this is from. Yeah.
All right, let's put it back on the rails, because we're talking to Katie Fox here, and just the story of how you sort of overcame perfectionism with live video, that live video first framework. So this person, they know, okay, I see the value in doing this. I'll get a bunch of content that I can eventually work with, you know, but. I think another thing that keeps people frozen when they actually start and they start doing these videos is the metrics and kind of like how many views and how many people are engaging and all these other things. When someone is, you know, in this for a little bit, what are the metrics they should be paying attention to versus the ones that keep them from continuing to create?
Oh my gosh, it's hard. It's really hard. I struggle with a lot of that. I think if you're on YouTube, you know, the more that I get into it, the more I'm looking at the amount of live viewers, the amount of concurrent live viewers, the click-through rate. So like how many people are actually clicking through and watching. I really try to not... like take that as the kind of be all and end all for what you're trying to accomplish, because there's so many numbers that are hidden behind that. I will say, like, so for the VHS Club, again, it was just for fun. I started assuming literally no one would come. I was like, this is me just hanging out with my best friend. I'm practicing, I'm getting better at Ecamm, I'm learning a lot about YouTube. Like, this is a passion fun project. And I would talk about it on my, you know, personal Facebook or, you know, with friends or whatever. And I started noticing that people who were like acquaintances from high school or, you know, neighbors would be like, oh, like, are you heading home for your podcast? It's Thursday. Like, A, like, do you know that I have a podcast? B, like, how did you know it was Thursday? Or like, they would start sending me, forwarding me, like, you know, 90s movie references, or be like, oh, I was in like the store the other day and I saw like this, you know, this thing that was, you know, that I thought you might like. So I think more people are paying attention than what the metrics show. So, you know, not all of those people are regular viewers of my show, but they know I have a show and, you know, and they are likely to tune in at some point. Maybe they're not watching every episode. Maybe they're listening and not watching. Maybe they're, you know, they're in the live audience and they never rewatch. Maybe if I brought them on as a guest, you know, they would bring a huge, so they're, I think those numbers are somewhat fake. Just so they're, I mean, we call them vanity metrics for a reason. So don't let them get you down. They're a great thing to keep, you know, to keep general tabs on, but that's not a full, you know, full story of what you're accomplishing. And you need to have a bigger goal beyond that.
Yes.
30 incredible followers, 50 incredible followers, 100 incredible followers, people who are willing to sign up for your emails, people who will get on a call with you, will, you know, will answer your DMs. The impact that those people have, it goes well beyond the amount of them that exists. it really does make a big difference. I can do a lot with 20 people that show up in a live stream, way more than, you know, than someone who has 100,000 views on their video. But those are just passive people that have stopped by at one point and something caught interest, right? Whereas my 20 will show up to every single video that I'm on and will give me feedback and will buy things that I tell them are, you know, great tools. There's a relationship there. There's a trust there. There's a community there. So I think we need to stop chasing vanity metrics. We need to stop chasing like audience, and we need to think about it as your community. Like we're building something bigger than just the numbers. You're building relationships. You're building trust. And like once you have that, then everything else that you're looking for is going to follow on its own. That's what you need to focus on, is those relationships. They really make a difference, like across the board. I cannot say that enough.
And when you say that they're showing up, they are absolutely showing up. Sorry, Jim. Yes. And Mary Lou just wanted to say that, that's the way to keep the kids.
Right, your children,
Exactly. I'm sorry,
lessons
Jim.
With Katie.
Now, Katie, you mentioned earlier, and you know, because Chris, I don't think we've had the AI question for this episode, so we'll bring that in.
Put your robot helmets on.
Writing, and you know, you've talked about live video. How are you using AI with your live streaming?
All the time. It's my best friend. So I use AI for planning. So like outlining, thinking through topic ideas, bouncing ideas off of it for, you know, for the most part, like, hey, you know, I'm bringing Jeff C on for my show and he really wants to talk about inner space. Like, I'm thinking that we'll talk about these kinds of things. What are some great social media posts that I can line up as I'm getting ready for the audience? You know, I don't want all of them to be a hard sell. What are some that can just build excitement? I have it help me write my YouTube titles and descriptions. I ask for advice on the thumbnails I'm creating. I'm like, okay, I don't want to use more than like two words in my, my YouTube thumbnail. So, you know, the show's about this. What are the two words I can put in here? What are the keywords? I mean, honestly, every part in the process that is not me recording is supported by AI. So all of the planning that goes into it, and then I take all that, I put that in Ecamm, build it all out, and then when I'm ready to go, I go. And then on the other side, I send my videos through Opus to clip everything up for me, and I share those clips out. I'm using tools, I mean, like CapShow is another one I use often, where like I can drop my video in and it gives me social posts that are like curated and go in a particular order to kind of build momentum up for that video. More and more every day, I'm like, anything that is going to save me time and get my content out to the audience that needs to hear it, and anything that allows me to continue to focus on what matters, which is the connection and the people and the being present on video, which AI is not good at. I'm better at. So all the other stuff on the other side, on both sides of it. So
I love how tactical you are, because, you know, you are someone that I consider, you know, authentic, real. You're doing live video, but you're unapologetic about your use of AI. And it's not just because, hey, I don't want to do this stuff, right? You want to focus on the stuff that you're primarily passionate and you know you're the best at.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I know you're not just rubber stamping that content out. You're like, you're inserting Katie Fox in this, You're not just like throwing whatever AI gives you, because we found out it lies to us even more than Jim lies to me.
You know what? So I was talking with Alec after his event that we were talking about earlier in this episode. And one thing that he said that I hadn't thought of and I immediately tried myself was, you know, he had asked AI what he was missing. So like, you know, here are all the different things that I'm doing. What am I missing and what can I do better? Kind of to be like a constructive criticism sounding board, which I like, everyone's like, oh, we take constructive criticism really well. I don't. I like to be right. I don't do well with it. I just want to win. So for me, I don't. I wish I was better at it. But there's something about like asking AI some of those questions, which is great for someone like me, because it's not a person. So I can't get frustrated at it. It's like, it's taking a look at everything and it's like, here are the holes. I'm like, yep, you're right. Like I could fill some of those gaps in. And then it helps me take some of those things and turn them into great ideas. Like, because I know what my bigger vision is or what my mission is. So again, it's just like a really great sounding board. And that was one of those ideas that I never would have thought of. And it like has helped a ton. Like I now have, I think, 3 or 4 different ideas in the last couple of weeks that I've been working on that were a direct result of what am I not doing or what am I doing really badly that I need to be doing differently. And it outlined those things. And, you know, now I'm able to get them into queue or figure out like what, you know, which of them will have the biggest impact or which I want to tackle first and how to tackle them. So huge shout out to Alec. I never would have thought of it that way, but that's another great thing that, especially for people who like do sometimes take things personally, like you can't really take it personally when it's not a person. So it went a long way for me on that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously getting off the blank page and using it to just to launch you, to keep you creating. I think that's a great way to kind of end today, is that, you know, whatever's preventing you from creating. And if it's fear of camera, Katie just gave you all like the blueprint for it and why you should be, you know, looking at potentially doing live first. You don't have to do live first, you know, you don't have to do video for your podcast, but you should. No, I'm, you know, because
it's more fun.
It's more fun. And you do get found more. I don't know. It's proven. But, you know, I love how that's just been woven through this whole conversation. Katie, thank you again for being on the show. And, you know, here we are talking so much about, you know, 90s movies. We've yet to like talk about, you know, Ecamm, which you can find at ecamm.com, or you can type in ecamm.castahead.net because somebody has got an affiliate link that you can click.
Click and that of course, one. That's a better link.
And of course, go to the YouTube channel. It's at Ecamm Live. This is just a brilliant channel, and it's really curated so very well. So if you're just starting out, you can go to a spot. They've got courses. I just, you know, started powering through Fulgen and Anna's course on
awesome.
production. All this free stuff that's available to you that's on both their site and their YouTube channel. And of course, make sure that you go over and watch the VHS Club, and you'll be able to see Jeff C. and his big bearded greatness talk about Interspace with Katie. And I can't wait to see Jeff Dwoskin. When is that show coming up?
Thursday. We joke that we're on most Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. So okay. We don't hit every Thursday night. We're solidly most Thursday nights.
Most Thursdays.
Yes, this upcoming Thursday at 9 p.m. If you want to hang out with us live, otherwise the episode following, usually Friday morning, I drop it and then it's out across all the different podcast players and out on YouTube. But it's more fun live. So come hang out in the live studio audience and answer all of our questions and give your feedback and your ratings and hang out with us. It's fun.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody who has joined us today in the chat. There's too many of you to name. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Doug Lehman, breaking it down in layman's terms, says Truck Turner, Isaac Hayes, 70. So that I guess that's a movie. I've never even heard of it.
I'm in.
Truck Turner is a great name for a band.
It is a great band name.
So maybe Isaac Hayes sang for Truck. No, this is probably a movie. So anyway, thanks again, Katie, and to everyone else, as always, don't fear the gear.
Thanks for listening to Dealcasters. Congratulations, you've taken another step forward in your content creation journey. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe or follow button here in your favorite podcast player so you can be reminded every time we drop an episode.
We love hearing from our listeners and viewers. And if you're wanting to watch our shows live on Amazon, feel free to follow Dealcasters Live as well at dealcasters.live. Follow us on Twitter or subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we also include added content that you cannot find anywhere else.
If you have questions about this episode or have something you want us to review, you can also email us at dealcasters@dealcasters.live. Thanks again for listening, and you know the deal. Don't fear the gear.